gonna flip you guys out. What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 13 of The Overview. I'm Shaman V, Fishsticks Shade here, of course. Fishsticks back from PAX. How you doing, man? You tired?
I'm doing all right. Yeah, I'm a little tired. I think I slept for like 14 hours yesterday. Passed out as soon as I got home and then woke up at like 10:30 and then just went back to sleep 2 hours later. So I'm recovering, but as you can maybe hear a little bit, my voice is not fully recovered yet.
Well, at least you don't sound like Tay Zonde, right, Shay? sometimes Fishsticks' mic makes him sound unbelievably cool, but, you know, that's definitely good. Shay, how about you? How are you doing?
Doing okay without Overwatch for 2 days so far.
Yeah, it's definitely rough,
hopefully,
man.
Hopefully it gets better when the Diablo season starts so I can just, like, drown myself in riffs for a few days, but... until then, I'm going a little bit nuts.
Yeah. Yesterday was really rough because there was like no Overwatch, and then like Hearthstone expansion was like coming out today, and there was just literally like really, really tough for me to do anything yesterday. So at least a little bit is good. Overwatch definitely another week before we get to play it again. Definitely tough. But want to welcome our guest on today. He's a guy that you might have seen some of his pieces. He definitely writes some articles, some really good articles that we've seen in the community and you might have seen on Reddit. He's also a player, currently playing for Maidong. I want to welcome Reinforce to the show. Welcome, buddy.
Thank you. Happy to be on the show.
Awesome, man. So... this weekend, how has it been actually for you, Reinforce, with no Overwatch? Like, what are you guys doing right now? Just kind of talking strategy or what? You know, I don't know what teams do right now.
We recorded a bunch of odds, and we're going to go through them pretty much every day until the open beta goes up.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So, yeah, we have like 2-3 hours scheduled each night until open beta starts.
Nice. Looking over film, that's always great. Okay, well, today, guys, we have, even though Overwatch is, you know, currently on break, we actually have a lot of things to talk about because a lot's happened this week. So I figured we'd do a summary of closed beta, just our thoughts, just generally, with closed beta ending, just what our thoughts are, what we thought was the good things, maybe some things to improve on for, you know, I guess their next beta for whatever product that they do. And then there was a cool documentary that was released, a three-parter. That was the Overwatch story that had a lot of really interesting factoids in it, and I figured it might be cool to talk about. A comic came out. Our first Overwatch comic was released, and then Fishsticks here, he was at PAX. There was a lot of Overwatch at PAX, so definitely get the lowdown from him and the event that was going on there and everything. And then some esports news. Definitely a few team changes, a few pickups that are going to be worth talking about. And then even just some meta talk that happened kind of later last week that seemed to be pretty cool. Q&A at the end, guys. So send your questions to @ChanManV, and I'll try to read them out. If not, maybe we'll just like look in the Twitch chat and find something. Okay, so let's talk about closed beta. Just a few days ago, and... kind of want to get your thoughts on it. So why don't we start with our guest, Reinforce? Overall, I guess opinion on how the closed beta went.
Really well, in my opinion. I didn't really have any trouble at all with the beta. I mean, everything ran smooth, and then I guess there were some. I didn't necessarily agree with like how quick they were to balance stuff, those kind of stuff. But overall, it was like really smooth. Every night, everything worked. There were like a few live maintenance, but overall it was really good for closed beta.
Okay. Shade, what do you think?
I think I just am ready for the game to actually be launched at this point. Yeah. Closed beta went pretty well, I guess, as far as the closed beta is concerned. It didn't really feel like a closed beta.
Yeah.
I don't know. Usually closed beta is like, I think, NDAs and, you know, like no streaming allowed and...
yeah,
that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But I don't know, It just doesn't, it didn't really feel like a closed beta, I guess. It probably did for other people that weren't actually in the beta.
yes.
But yeah, I don't know. It had like a different feel. I've played some closed betas before, and that one, like Overwatch for closed beta, didn't feel like a regular closed beta. And also, like, it's the first time I've ever seen a game developer so, like, intensely listening to what the community was saying.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I think we talked about that a little bit when Jeff was on the show, but, like, it was nuts how fast they were to change things or how fast they were to listen and respond to what people were saying. It was really, really cool. I've never seen that happen before, so.
Yeah. Fish Six?
Yeah. No, I think that's the main takeaway for me is just how quickly they were iterating on the game. And you know, Reinforce brings up the fact that sometimes you make a gut change to what the competitive scene is like complaining about most of the time. But honestly, like, it's amazing to see that level of interaction between the devs and the community and the competitive community specifically, which we're all part of. So that was amazing. Of course, the game's so polished, man. Like, people say whatever they're going to say, but it was very polished for a closed beta. And they added so much stuff. Like, they crammed competitive mode in there really quickly, and maybe it's not quite done, maybe it's not quite finished, but at least they were able to start testing it before we moved into the actual full launch of the game, which is exactly what they wanted, right? Mm-hmm. So I guess the changes are going to be coming a lot slower now that the game is actually out, which makes a lot of sense, but I'm really glad that they did use this time to make changes as quickly as they could based on feedback. And as I said in previous shows, like, it was just vindication for us in the competitive scene who've been spending so much time and effort running tournaments, running events. It was vindication to see that they made a lot of these changes based on what us in the competitive scene were saying and doing and the metas that were evolving based on, like, these tournaments. So, no, it was awesome. Of course, I put probably, like, 300, 400 hours into it in just a couple of months. So that's not going to change moving forward.
It's only going to go, like, infinitely, probably moving forward for you. For me, I think the whole closed beta thing was a huge success. And I actually think of this closed beta period as a very true representation of what beta should be. You know, I think a lot of people in the past, or at least a lot of betas that we've seen, even with from the Blizzard folks, you know, they've either been, like, alphas. They should have been alphas because they weren't, you know, nearly close to being in like game playing shape, or they should have been pretty much finished products, you know, or they treated it like a finished product and, you know, we're selling things already and all that, you know, all that kind of stuff. Right. But this, I feel like, was just right. You know, there was some miscommunication, I think, or people, you know, misinterpreting what the definition of beta was, but I think that kind of got cleared up. You know, I think they did a good job clearing that up, that, hey, we're still working on stuff. The gameplay is there, but everything around it is still being worked out, and seeing it be worked out, you know, over time, over, you know, these months that we've seen, them taking the necessary time that's needed and not really being pressured by the public, you know, taking these breaks when they needed, as well as, like, allowing the esports side of things to be, like, in beta too, right? Like, I feel like this period is kind of, like, even though we are getting teams picked up and we are seeing some, you know, money moving around in the esports, it's kind of like a beta period. Like, we're trying to figure all these things out, and it's great. It's definitely cool that we're trying, you know, when the game launches and the finished products are going to be out there, we're going to start off on the right foot, I believe. So, overall, I think it was a great thing.
You brought up a good point. I'm actually drinking out of my Splash Damage mug right now. And the game I was playing prior to this was Dirty Bomb, built by Splash Damage, which is still in beta. Over a year now after it came out. And it's still
Dirty Bomb is still in beta?
Yes, yep. Technically. I think their competitive matchmaking system says like alpha. It's got alpha plastered over it. I'm not trying to, you know, throw any shade towards those guys because the game is still good. But, like, you know, Blizzard, man, they're already kind of ahead.
Well, at what point do you just, like, let's just launch the game? You know what I mean? Like, it's kind of crazy when you get to that point. Feature creep can be a very painful thing sometimes. But yeah, so we're going to finally get the game out. It's going to be coming out. We're seeing just, I think, support in the form of, you know, different content around it. You know, whether it's like this show, or we're seeing articles, we're seeing comics, we're seeing like short films, you know, like short animations, and we're seeing all kinds of things around it. So when it comes out, it's going to be just a full force. Starting to see commercials for it now. Like, all over NBA. Like when I was watching basketball on TNT or ESPN, it's like Overwatch commercials like nonstop, which is pretty awesome, actually. It's kind of funny. So anyways, really excited about obviously open beta. That's coming up in, what, 5 days now?
Yeah, not too long.
Something like five or six days now. So all of you folks that have been waiting to play it, definitely get ready for that. May 3rd, pre-order it. You can get in a couple days earlier and get as much time as you can in. But definitely a lot of fun. Okay.
Yeah, someone came into my stream this morning and there was like an Overwatch ad right before, you know, he had like Twitch ads and stuff sometimes.
Yeah.
It was an Overwatch ad and it just started showing me playing South Park and it's like, oh, salt in the wound.
Oh, that's funny. It's pretty crazy. Okay, so let's talk about something, I guess a piece of content that came out during, I think the first part came out late last week, but the Overwatch story. So this is a documentary that was created and lots of interviews with the Blizzard design team talking about basically the history of Overwatch and how the development process went or originated and kind of just how it went through, right? So we saw Metzen on there. We saw Kaplan on there and just a lot of the guys. We even saw, Zan on there too. Who was able to watch the entire thing? Did you guys all get a chance to watch it all?
Yeah. I watched all of it.
Okay.
It came out during PAX, so I only got to watch the first two, unfortunately.
Okay, Reinforce, what'd you think?
I think it was really good. Yeah. I really liked the first episode, especially when you get to find out more of the background of the game and all of that, because still to this day, like, Titan is kind of a mystery, what it like really was before Overwatch. Mm-hmm. So it was really intriguing to get to know more about that, and also Jeff Kaplan's background in his FPS scene. Because to me, he was just like EverQuest and World of Warcraft. So it was kind of cool to know that he actually played FPS games. And it sort of like gives legitimacy to everything you post on the forums regarding if it's like sensitivity or FOV. Like, he knows what he's talking about. So it was good to know.
Yeah, I think
for me to start liking Jeff Kaplan any more than I already did. It happened this week when someone posted all of his EverQuest forum posts.
Oh my god, I saw that.
Did not know it was possible for me to like that man any more than I already did. Oh, and man. I was like, this is why he's so good at responding to Blizzard like stuff, Overwatch stuff on the forums, is because he was just literally the biggest troll of all time.
Exactly. He knows a troll. And
he knows how to handle an FPS community.
That's right. Exactly.
I thought it was really interesting. Well, first of all, the Titan stuff was very interesting.
Yeah.
Because like Reinforce said, they just haven't talked about that barely at all. So that was interesting. And the other thing, it was just, we all kind of knew it, right? Like, Overwatch is, you take all these arena FPS games and you smash them together, and then you have the cast of Overwatch, basically. Like, it's you can almost look at each individual hero and say, like, oh yeah, that's inspiration from this game, and that's inspiration from that game.
Right.
So it was clear to a lot of us coming in that this was the foundation of Overwatch, but it was good to hear that from them and hear, like, specifically, oh yeah, like McCree's revolver is a Half-Life, revolver, like. And just hearing that was cool. And that's why I was drawn into the game. It was, I played those types of games growing up. And for 10 years, I played Tribes. So, that's why I'm interested in this game. And that's why a lot of other people are interested in this game. So that was pretty cool to hear.
Yeah, I think I'm along lines with you, Reinforce. Just the Titan backstory was the most interesting part. The overall documentary, just parts 2 and 3, were actually excellent too. But the Titan part was just resonated really a lot with me, and just I found out a lot of things. The part that interests me the most was that, they kind of lost confidence, right? Like the fact that Titan was, just struggling, and they kind of knew it inside that they was, it was failing. That these big name people who have made just these awesome, awesome IPs, like, were actually had lost some confidence in like their ability to build games. And then just kind of seeing them regrouping and coming back together, kind of going a little bit more to, a success recipe that, they've done in the past. I think that was really cool to see. And it was cool to see the honesty too, right? Just talking about, hey, we weren't sure we could make another good game here, especially in this, in this genre. I really appreciated that. That's one of the parts that was really resounding to me when doing it. By the way, the document is from GameSpot too. By the way, I should have pointed that out.
It's very good. Showing it here too. By the way,
exactly. Definitely check it out, guys. Let's link it in the chat here in case folks didn't get a chance to see it. Just because, you know, things on Reddit do disappear after a while, and everybody lives on Reddit these days. So here's a link to the documentary, just the part one, if you guys didn't get a chance to catch it. All right, next up, comic book. Did you guys get a chance to catch the comic that was presented on comic? Oh, there you go, comic.playoverwatch.com.
Do you have a physical copy of it?
He does. That is awesome,
damn.
Dude.
That's
dude,
cool.
I gotta. Gosh, I didn't get me one of these.
I forgot. Push to talk. That's what happens when you go to PAX.
Yeah, I should have gone, man. I'm still kicking myself for going. Okay, so what'd you think, Shade? Any thoughts on the comic? Just first impression.
I mean, I definitely prefer the shorts over the comics, yeah, but it was cool for it being a comic, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I guess
still
waiting
for
a comic person.
Yeah, I was just still waiting for, like, the Mercy Reaper storyline, so I'm going to hold out all my excitement for that and wait till that happens.
Yeah, I'm sure that's coming pretty soon. Fishsticks, what do you think? You actually had the physical one,
I mean, look, it's cool. It's obviously cool to have lore building in so many different ways. It just brings me back to just how ridiculous Blizzard marketing is in general. You know, it's not just advertising on every website and TV. It's like the Ubers, the Ubers driving around Boston during PAX East. Taco Bell. It's these books. It's the animated shorts. It's everything coming together. That's like the marketing machine that Blizzard has employed here. And it's just kind of mind blowing to even think, like, man, how big is that team putting together the whole promotion strategy for this game? It's actually crazy. But yeah, I mean, the comic was cool. It's only a couple pages, frankly, but it was
really short.
And it brings out McCree's personality. He's a good guy. So that was interesting. I don't know.
He's an outlaw, but with a good heart type of thing.
Yeah.
Reinforce, what do you think? I keep calling you Reinforce
really like,
now. Now that you put that
it's
in
like
my
a
head,
curse, man.
Reinforce
everyone does
in my
it.
Head.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's because it's like Reinhardt.
That's right.
Reinforce. Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
it just works well together.
I've dealt with this for like 3 years by now, so I'm just used to it.
Right.
People call me whatever. I'm just.
Hey, sure, man, at least your name's
not
Tavik,
really like,
okay? Us Americans
well,
know
yeah.
how to pronounce that.
Everybody's calling him all kinds of different things at this
point.
Yeah.
It's just Tavik. Can we
Tvik.
Just like. Tweak, yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, but I really
have
like
to practice
the comic.
That a few times.
There's no I. Just pretend there's no I.
Tweak. It's something in between what I say and what it's okay. We'll have to practice that. So comic.
Yeah. But I like the comic. Yeah, it was really cool. It was kind of short and I mean, I guess it was the first comic.
Yeah, the very first one.
So it's kind of fun how like they're trying to build like a mystery. Mm-hmm. Or like a storyline.
Yeah.
And you don't know anything about it. Like there were robots on the train or whatever it was. But like, what are these robots doing here? You know, they put in these small like details that you don't know about. And so they're like, you'll figure it out as it goes on. It was kind of interesting.
Yeah.
How to just put small pieces and then let the community speculate about what's going on.
I just assume all robots are Omnics and I just leave it at that.
Yeah.
But I mean, in the short we saw... The Omnics are cool guys that want peace, or some of them. You know?
Some of them,
until they get assassinated.
Yeah, I guess. I don't actually know the storyline that well, but...
Yeah. Well, what was interesting at the end of it was that whatever was valuable, he just kind of kicked off the train, which was... That was surprising.
Yeah, that was
I thought he would
weird.
Try to, you know, keep it in some way, or at least hold it and have them continue chasing him, but it was kind of the opposite there, which...
I mean, it was like
cool.
A purple glowing box.
Yeah. That's true.
Don't really know what you want that for.
It's a legendary screen.
Exactly. Man. It's an epic. Oh. What are you talking about?
Epic,
like,
sorry.
There's lots of great epic things.
Jesus.
There. No. But overall, I think the artwork was great. It's done by Bengal. And from some of my friends who are, you know, just big in the comics, Bengal's apparently an artist that's a huge up-and-coming artist. So they hired somebody definitely great to do the artwork here. Yeah, so I'm looking forward to some... Awesome comics to follow up to when they ever launched. I'm thinking this is just a tiny preview and that we'll see, you know, more full blown episode whenever we
imagine like graphic novels
issued.
And like
mm-hmm. yeah.
That'd be crazy.
Exactly. This is going to be awesome. All this media around it, man.
We got like two of those animated shorts. Is that what you call them?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Another one's supposed to be coming out.
We got like two of them in beta. Yeah. So like they're doing it on a good tempo. But if they want to build a world as like World of Warcraft or something similar, I think it's going to be hard to keep this tempo up, you know?
I mean, eventually they ended up doing a movie for World of Warcraft, so it'd be really cool if we got to see that like 10 years down the road. There's just like an Overwatch movie in the works. So.
Yeah, you just need to get there, and it will be interesting to see if they can keep it up, because it's really good.
Yeah, absolutely. I think when launch happens, we might be, like, again, these might all just be tidbits. Who knows what happens after launch? Maybe they'll have like longer shorts and obviously longer comic books, and I don't know, maybe little toys right off the bat too on like shelves at Target and stuff like that. We'll have to see, man.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, I think this thing is
going to be... I'm sure we'll see that. I'm sure.
They probably already are somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, let's transition over to PAX. So PAX East just happened this weekend. Fish6 was there, and lots of coverage from Twitch with the tournament that was happening in the arena, as well as all these Uber cars that were badass just going around.
So sick.
Some of them driving a little crazy, but generally they're pretty awesome looking, and you can actually get... We saw all kinds of pictures with Tracer, with Lamborghinis and stuff too. Ben, why don't you talk a little bit about PAX East?
PAX East was awesome, and Overwatch had quite the presence on the show floor. It was the PAX Arena, which was kind of the esports thing that Twitch and ReedPop did have been doing now for a couple PAXes. They had a big area. They had a jib. They had a serious jib. Like a straight up gigantic crane cam. Even though there was only like 40, 50, 60 seats in the audience, they had a legitimate jib to show everything, which is like, if you're a production person, like, this is fancy ass technology, man. But it wasn't just that. They also had their own booth where they had the console version, the PS4 version, and they had the Xbox version in the Microsoft Xbox booth as well.
Mm-hmm.
So as far as I could see, there was like always a line to play, both in the PAX Arena area and in the Overwatch booth area. I didn't really check out the Microsoft area, but
how'd the console,
obviously everyone...
How the console versions look? Did you get
I got a chance to play the console version a tiny bit when I visited Blizzard, and I don't play consoles at all, especially not FPS on consoles, so I'm not really the best one to judge. But yeah, it felt good. Like, it has a little bit of auto aim, so you could zip around as Tracer and still hit people.
Really?
Which is needed for console.
That's going to be great.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
I still remember how they had that, like, the first few days of closed beta. Like, it was in the game.
So really?
Even on PC?
Yeah, if you play with a controller. If you play
Did you play any Battleborn during the open beta of Battleborn? There was actually auto-aim in that game, and it was PC.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's just a thing that games are putting in now. Like, I don't know.
I mean, it was an accident from Blizzard's side. But it was kind of funny. Like, the first few days of closed beta, how, like, Tracer players had, like, auto-aim on and shit on tops.
So,
it was on balance.
I wouldn't put on auto-aim. That's the one character I wouldn't do. Okay, cool.
And then, and going back to just how amazing Blizzard's marketing is, the Uber cars were ridiculous. They all looked so sick in person. Mm-hmm. And, of course, Blizzard, they didn't just hire the cars and the drivers. They, like, picked up all, like, the biggest Twitch influencers from the airport. They sent them all their own Lamborghinis.
Smart.
So, of course, they're all taking photos and, like, social media and all that stuff. That was ridiculous. But then, of course, we also had the first ever LAN event in North America, which was an open tournament where basically completely random people signed up. There were only a few pre-made teams. I shouldn't even say pre-made. Like, there were just people who, like, knew each other that made teams. And even those teams, even the winning team that ended up winning the whole tournament, had several people that had never played the game. So it was kind of interesting to see what the newbies approach to Overwatch. But I will say, one of the guys on Team Dynamic, Boozer, BUSWR, his Widowmaker was super sick. Like, he had a really sick Widowmaker. So I think in my head, I'm thinking, and he's never played before, so I'm thinking, yeah, man, maybe Reddit's right. Maybe once everybody has their hands on this game, we're going to start to see a ton of new talent come out of the woodwork. I mean, obviously, mm-hmm. we always knew that was the case, but it was good to see someone who had never played that was actually like super impressive with Widowmaker.
Right.
So that was pretty cool. Yeah. Also had the pleasure of commentating the Penny Arcade for the Overwatch for the Watch show match, which was Gabe and Tycho from Penny Arcade going at it with like a team of industry insiders and just like their friends. And then of course that was even lower level than the rest of the stuff, but it was still really fun because like Penny Arcade, it's all about the PAX guys, it's all about the comic, it's all about the characters. Like, you know, obviously it's a huge nerd convention of all of various, like, all nerd cultures at Penny Arcade, but still has a huge fan base there. So the crowd was huge. Like, every seat was taken, and people were just mm-hmm. crowding around the entire area. So at Max, I think we definitely had several hundred people, probably 500-plus wow. people crowding around, like, both sides of the PAX Arena. Like, Street Fighter was over for the day, so mm-hmm. I didn't even see the other side. So who knows? It actually might have been more. And they were Sweet. Getting pretty hype.
The shit talk so for like, that game was golden.
It was good. It was
so good.
Rachel did a good job of teasing that out of them.
That's true.
No, but they were.
I don't think they needed much teasing.
No, they didn't.
No, that's great. That's the beauty of seeing, like, you know, sometimes non-pros play, right? And especially friends playing. I mean, this is what happens when I play with my friends. Just a bunch of shit talking going on. And that can be a lot of fun.
Yeah. I think the one thing that I was looking out for the most with mm-hmm. this tournament, I shoutcasted probably like 5 or 6 games throughout the weekend mm-hmm. on Saturday and Sunday. Yeah. One thing I was looking out for most is to discern like what the audience reacted most to. And obviously most people in the audience haven't played. Maybe they've watched some YouTube videos, but the majority of people haven't even played the game. But people were still oohing and aahing with big moments. The one thing I found kind of funny is like Widowmaker was like the thing everyone went crazy. Like when you were in watching first person Widowmaker, when they have a good snipe, the audience would just erupt. So really? That was cool to see.
Okay.
Yeah, it happened many times. I mean, if you go watch the VOD, I can post that in chat for you guys, of the Watch show match, you can hear the audience gets really hyped for some moments.
People love snipers, man. There's something about snipers. Yeah.
How was the observing for the tournament?
Was it
like
decent.
A lot of first person? Or
who did it, actually? Who did the observing?
So ZP and Jason Kaplan were the two that did it.
Yeah.
So if one of them was, you know, they both casted the tournament as well. So one of them was always, that's why they didn't cast together, because one of them was always running the cams. And of course, ZP runs way more first person than I like, but he did fine. He did great.
Hey, preference.
He did a pretty good job.
Yeah, awesome. Because it's really easy to follow a Widowmaker if you make a lot of kills, you know, if you get 40 kills at one point.
If she's in a great spot, I mean, it actually, first person is like pretty awesome for her. But the casting is great. It was great seeing you guys together, you know, like seeing different combinations of you guys, you know, it's cool. And then Elohim was in some of those too. It's nice seeing, you know, kind of his energy and voice being comboed with you guys too, so that's cool.
I actually really enjoyed his casting.
Yeah, and he doesn't ever do it, so this is like on the fly Elohim, you know, just kind of a natural at doing it, so that's really, really cool.
I actually really enjoyed when he was casting. It was mm-hmm. funny, but it was also like, wow, he's actually good at this.
I was super stoked to cast with him. Because he's one of my favorite people in the Twitch community. Yep. Like, we actually,
awesome.
Every PAX, I always hang out with him at least one or the two of the nights we will hang out. So it was awesome casting with him. And then also Seltzer, Rachel, mm-hmm. is also one of my closest friends in the entire esports industry. So I casted on stage with like two of my really close friends, which on a personal level was fucking awesome. It was awesome.
Did you get a chance to go back and see like the VODs of Twitch chat or anything like that while you were casting?
Of course. It's the first thing I did when I got home yesterday.
Wow, really?
There was one part I remember specifically. You were casting with Elo, and you like touched his shoulder or his back or something like that, and the whole Twitch chat just went crazy. They were like, touchy, 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 touchy. It was so funny. It was hilarious.
That's a funny thing for them to go crazy about.
So all he did was just touch Elo's shoulder, and then it was just like gone. Twitch chat was gone.
Yeah.
Sounds like Twitch chat.
That was definitely cool. I mean, Elo, you know, Elo was part of the initial reveal, right, of Overwatch. I think it was the first Twitch stream, right? And I think we haven't really, I mean, he definitely plays Overwatch from time to time, but I don't think we've seen him on like official kind of events since then. So it's definitely great seeing him. And Rach, I mean, Rach has been wanting, you know, like, we need to see Rach more in Overwatch 2. So like, I'm, you will, don't worry. I was really happy to see
Rach doing something. She's as obsessed as
I am. She loves this game. Like every time I talk to Rach, she loves this game. So it's just more of just finding, you know, like finding a place to host or to cast or whatever. So definitely, you know, keep an eye on Salter too, guys. If you, you know, have events or whatnot. Okay, well, let me switch back here. Such great action here that we got here that Fishsticks kind of linked me just to the VOD. Very cool. Next,
did you guys catch the picture of the Uber car accident that happened?
Yeah,
like, the truck. Super 76 one.
That's hilarious. Yeah. JP was in that car.
What?
Oh, really?
He was? Yeah,
JP and a bunch of other influencers were in that car when they had that accident. That's what I heard. I didn't hear it from him,
but
that's what I was told.
Well, if you look at the picture, giant
truck,
like...
The big truck? Oh, my gosh. Okay.
If you look at the picture, you could just see... like Soldier 76 cosplayer just stepping out, walking towards the police. And like, if you look at the other car, the car they hit is totally like destroyed.
Well,
like,
it's the a back monster end truck. Is just
your PR guys are even smarter than I thought. I this generated like
oh my gosh,
1,000 tweets and like even more media attention.
It's true. Holy crap. Not sure. I'm not sure that's media attention they want.
They just talked to the driver.
It was a joke. It was a joke.
Car accident. Just trying to like imagine in my head what that would be like.
No, that would be well. There's definitely one car out of all those cars you don't want to get into an accident with. It's that big ass truck that they did. So that was pretty crazy for sure. That's funny that it was JP. That's I mean, not funny, but you know, that was kind of coincidental. That was
good thing he was in a monster truck. And yeah. He was okay.
Then I go. Oh man. Your PR guys are even smarter than I thought. I this generated like
oh my gosh,
1,000 tweets and like even more media attention.
It's true. Holy crap. I'm not sure that's media attention they want.
They just talked to the driver.
It was a joke. It was a joke.
Just accidentally run into a car so we can get tweets.
Genius, man. Genius. Okay, so one thing to bring up, you know, we've talked about competitive mode, right? But you know, we've had, I guess, that event at PAX run in this, you know, new Blizzard competitive mode format, right? We didn't do payload there. Oh, we didn't do a stopwatch there, right?
Yeah.
So how did that go? I think Reinforced, you guys ran an event or played an event too that was...
we played in the King of the Watch tournament on Friday.
Yeah. Okay, so let's talk about the PAX one first, and then we'll talk about the more competitive, the actual more serious one. How did that one go, Fishsticks, at PAX?
It went totally 100% fine.
Okay.
And because it was so casual, it didn't really matter to me what the game type was. It was more about the gameplay, bringing the audience into it, having something for the competitors to do. So I'm going to defer to Reinforce on this one because, you know, our thing was so casual that I can't really judge it off that.
Well, I mean, did no viewers like react to the mode at all? Was it hard to follow, or
I didn't really see
just
anything
didn't matter?
In chat.
I will say one thing. I will say one thing about it. I've been so used to casting Stopwatch that even though this mode should theoretically be simpler, it was actually still confusing to me because it was like if it's you only go to the control map if they're tied at the end of two maps, but like
not
there were situations where you could be mathematically out if the other team, if it's 2-1, basically it has to be tied. So, I mean, it shouldn't have been complicated, but just as a caster, like I tripped up on it like several times. So did the other casters too. Even though we talked about it, you know, I thought I had everything in my head, but then you're up there on stage and like, I'm not about to be like team A wins without being 100% sure.
Yes.
So I'd be like, and if they might, the other team might be out of it. I'm not sure. Blah blah blah. And then someone in my ear would be like, "Yes, they're out. Yes, okay." So it was not actually simpler for me to understand.
Okay,
I'll say that.
That's interesting.
I mean, I think you'll grow accustomed to it if you do it for a longer period of time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Reinforce, how about you?
Yeah.
What were your thoughts on actually playing it and just overall?
It was messy. It really was messy.
Okay.
We played a best of three versus versus Sooner or Later, which is a new German lineup.
Mm-hmm.
And then we qualified to play United in a best of seven. And I think we had 2 sudden deaths on 2 payload maps out of 4. So it was not that bad. But it got kind of messy because we like played payload and both teams won. Then we played sudden death, and then we played 2 best of 5 King of the Hill. And then we played another payload, and it was then again sudden death. So it was, I think it was kind of hard to follow for the casual viewer. And it was also really frustrating to play because it was so draining. Just go back and forth in so many games.
So both of the payload maps you played?
No, we played when... 2 payload. We played 4 payload maps in total.
Oh, okay.
Sudden death.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know what you mean, though. Like, you know, when you have one format that's literally offensive defense and, you know, just sudden death thing, and then you have the, you know, the King of the Hill maps, it does get confusing for the viewers. And I think what they'll need to do, or at least what a lot of the production companies will need to do, or whoever's running events, you're going to need some good infographics, I think, you know, just explaining these things. And it's up to us too, right? Like, to educate the viewers, or at least try our best to educate the viewers as people that organize events and things like that too. You know, Blizzard, we've always put the onus on Blizzard to just come up with, like, you know, some kind of unified, you know, competitive mode that's going to work in game and, you know, at these type of events. But, you know, I feel like we can do something to help out with that. And infographics seem to work really, really well. I mean, one thing when I was watching the whole Heroes of the Dorm thing, you know, just a kind of a different Blizzard product, Heroes, is that on ESPN, when it was on ESPN, the infographics were amazing. Like, my wife was sitting there watching with me, who knows nothing about Heroes, who literally doesn't have much interest in video games at all. And she was mainly watching and staying interested because of the whole college aspect of it. She was understanding, like, all these things because of, you know, just these nice, you know, video ones, like profiling of all the characters, what they do, and, you know, just like even some of them in action. Those help a lot, you know, and I think we're going to need some things like that for Overwatch, explaining possibly just the format, too. That could help quite a bit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get where Blizzard is coming from by doing this mode, because they obviously don't like that Stopwatch is so complex to follow with all the times, you know, oh, is this a good time, is this a bad time? You know, you either just want to win or you want to lose the map and then go to sudden death. But it's from a standpoint of someone who competes, it's, you get kind of salty if you lose or like have a better time and have to go on sudden death, and then you have to play another mode. Yep. To determine who was the better payload team. So, yeah, I mean, I guess people can follow it, but I don't know.
Okay. I mean, any of your feelings changed about it, like, after getting a chance to see it and do it some? Because we left last show, Fish Sticks, with, let's just do it at an event and see how it goes, right? Before we go continue going just crazy over it. So any thought, any of your feelings changed at all?
Oh, me?
I mean, either anybody, yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking to Reinforce. But yeah, I mean, I'd like to see those games. I haven't had a chance to watch them yet. I think the one thing that's kind of been bobbling around in my head is that a lot of people say, like, oh, Stopwatch changes the game because you play strategies that just get you through the map fast. And on defense, you just try to delay them. And it changes how you play the game. And I don't really buy that. Like, isn't a fast strategy the best strategy to get through the map? Like, it just seems weird.
Right.
The only case where I think that comes into play is, like, when the other team attacks first and then you know what time you have to beat.
Yeah.
But exactly. I don't know. I just don't buy that one.
I mean,
argument.
Some teams are very confident in their attacking sides. Because some teams, just getting, like, a 4-minute time on King's Row is very simple for some. Because they're just so good at, like, Reunited. They're, like, so good at, like, second point King's Row attacking. So I think they can play around more on defensive just to, like, delay the other team just a tiny bit.
Okay. All right. Interesting.
But safe to say, Reinforce, you're not super happy with how...
No.
You can't tell by just the enthusiasm.
No.
Yeah. Okay.
No. I wasn't happy before, and I'm not happy after the tournament. But I do. I must say, like, I agree, or I see where Blizzard is coming from, and why they wanted to try it. But no, it's not the right approach.
Okay. Okay. Well, why don't we transition into just esports news, just in a little bit of meta too. One of the big things that happened this past week was Team Envious. So They just disbanded, and now they announced, I think the first like mini announcement was Tailspin was kind of joining IDDQ, and then basically IDDQD joining Team Envious, or Envious picking them up, and now they have a team again. So this is pretty big news. Obviously, IDDQD was looking for somebody to pick them up for a while now, like trying all kinds of different organizations. And the timing of this is after, obviously, Mendo and Tavik, you know, leaving the team, and there's being some disarray there. So the timing of all this is kind of surprising to me, because I felt like they were still trying to solidify the team, and now that Team Envious is picking them up, I guess they're pretty good with their team. Any thoughts on the news, Fishsticks?
Oh man, I have so many thoughts. I mean. Yeah. I am a Envious fan. I'm a fan of Hastro, Mike. He's a really great guy.
Yeah.
I still feel like this is a weird snap pickup, because this team hasn't played together. I mean, IDDQD, since they lost Mendo and Tavik, they haven't played as, like, they're still a great team, obviously, but they haven't played at a super high level. Now they're playing with Tailspin, who's a great player. I think he's one of the best DPS players in North America, if not the world. But this is a very unproven team now. And it's also weird to me because it's five Europeans and one American, which just seems slightly awkward. And like, even going further back, like Taimu even playing for IDDQD now in the first place was like a snap, you know, decision 2 days before my tournament. You know, he left Envious to play with them. So this roster in its current form hasn't been proven at all. So I was surprised to hear that this happened. I knew that, you know, Mike Hastro wanted to stay in the space and pick up another team. I'm just surprised they didn't wait a little bit longer or approach other teams. I mean, I don't know what happened on the back end, but that's my opinion on the matter, I guess.
Yeah, Shade, you were the first, I think, amongst us to call the whole Tailspin thing, too. So what are your thoughts on the pickup?
I mean, I don't know. Just everything that's gone on with teams in the last, like, 2 weeks is just kind of strange to me, because, like, we're so close to game launch, and to make all of these huge changes now doesn't really make sense to me. Like, there's no more tournaments until, I guess, like, the 7th or the 8th when we finish out Overkill. But then, like, after that, the game's going to be down again for 2 weeks. And then there's going to be, like, literally a shit ton of new players in the game. So why not just, like, stick it out until then? Like, just play together until you don't have to anymore? Like, until the end of Overkill? Because, like, now with the new IDDQD changes, like, they still have to play with some of their old roster anyways. Like, Tailspin can't play in Overkill. Like, he's not allowed to play in it. So he's sitting on the bench, basically. So they're going to still play with their old roster anyways. So I don't really understand why people aren't just like, just stick it out and then make whatever changes afterwards. But at least you'll have more options for people to play with at that point. So
I see. So you're talking more from the standpoint of players sticking it out on the teams that they were currently on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I mean, but I think it's kind of interesting that that the teams are even picking up. You know, I'm kind of looking at it from the team standpoint too. It's kind of surprising given that launch is about to happen too, and we're going to see a huge influx of players at that moment. That teams are picking, especially at this state when team like some of these teams are forming for the first time, and or at least solidifying a few of their slots for the first time. But I guess if you're going to run with a team, you might as well run with IDDQD. At least the majority of that roster obviously has been very, very successful in the beta.
So, yeah, well, and on top of that,
go ahead.
Someone just mentioned in chat too, we don't know what Blizzard's plans are as far as like allowing certain players to play on certain teams. Like, for all we know, Blizzard wants to region lock things, and Tailspin wouldn't be able to play on IDQD anyways. So,
right.
I don't know. I would just wait until Blizzard announces what they want to do, and wait until the game releases, and try to just stick it out till then. I really feel like it doesn't really make sense for the changes that have happened this week to have actually happened.
Yeah, I mean, I would ask Reinforce, what do you think?
Yeah, exactly.
First off, am I lagging?
To be,
no, you're fine.
Okay, I'm fine. Yeah, because you're a bit robotic to me, so I don't know.
Okay. You sound fine. No, do you think this team is strong? Or are they going to be a top team in Europe?
I don't know, actually. We played Envious before they disbanded. And even then, they were quite strong. Like, we played 50-50 games versus mm-hmm. them. And I don't know why they disbanded. I guess it was like player motivation or something like that. But I think this lineup will be really good. Then I don't know how like Tailspin will do, considering ping and all that. Because he's West Coast, if I recall correctly. So like, that's even bigger of a ping difference.
No, I think he's like central. But yeah,
I don't think he's West. Actually.
Okay. But regardless, the ping. Yeah.
What he plays too.
Yeah, I don't know. Is he that strong of a Genji player? Because I know he has a really good Pharah, and like he's a good flex DPS player.
He's a good Genji player. I don't want to say top, but
he's not known for his Genji.
Yeah, I wouldn't say top.
I mean, we don't scrim any teams that often, so I don't know that much about LG and Envious and Cloud9.
But there's a reason for that. The ping is terrible, so freaking Tailspin is now going to play on terrible ping and lag compensation that's gone down the toilet since the 60Hz servers. Like, has that been fixed? The issues with lag compensation and ping that came along with the 60Hz servers and custom games?
I actually don't know if they're properly fixed. But, I mean, there's still some issues. We've scrimmed IDDQD, the new lineup, a couple of times. And there's definitely some noticeable moments where Tailspin just spats it out and just like in vulnerable frames and all that. So it's kind of weird of a situation, but I think they'll do really good. They're trying out a bunch of new stuff, and Hulk is really good at coming up with new strats and such. So I'm really looking forward to see what they can do.
Yeah, and I'm just glad Envious is still in the space. It would be a real shame if they got cold feet and just were like, oh, we don't want a team anymore. See you later. No, that's good.
I mean, I think I'm not sure how working, like, I'm not sure how you work a team, but I think it's about the publicity a bit, you know? It's open beta, launch coming up, you know? You want a team just for the publicity, maybe? Mm-hmm. I don't know Hasbro's motivations behind picking up IDDQD, but it's a solid team, so I guess it's justified.
Okay. Well, speaking of roster changes, my Donks had some roster changes too. Mendo, like particularly making news by leaving the team and being replaced by Impulse, or some folks know him as
IDDQD.
IDDQD. A lot of people know him that. Talk about that. So Mendo obviously was one of those big names with Tavik or. Starting the team. Right? Starting the team and them being kind of a duo, right? Like you'd figure they were gonna stay together, but now, Mendo's leaving the team. So talk about that a little bit.
I don't know where to start really.
Wow. Okay.
It's not like I feel kind of bad for Mendo, because when he left IDDQD there was like so much drama surrounding him. And I think when Hulk wrote the statement regarding it, he didn't like even thank Mendo for the time or like wished him best of luck. So I feel kind of bad for Mendo in that sense. And now I feel kind of bad for Mendo for leaving the team so early, because he's just going to continue, you know. Mm-hmm. It's just going to... People are going to be like, oh, do we really want to play with this guy? But like the truth is that he's a really talented guy, probably one of the best Overwatch players in the world. So it's kind of sad in that sense. And really, the reasons why we decided to go with IDDQD instead is basically just that Mendo wasn't feeling the role of playing flex with like Sarius and stuff. And we all know he's a really good Genji player, Tracer, and even McCree. So it was just like mutual that it's better if he just leaves the team, finds a new team with better teammates he can play with, and he finds more comfortable playing with.
Yeah, God, I freaking Mendo, man. Like, I don't know if he's watching right now. Like, no hard feelings, dude. But you almost destroyed my tournament by leaving IDDQD in the first place, and then you joined this new team, and then like 5 days later you leave it. Like, I'm not sure what's going on behind the scenes.
I mean, I'm not entirely sure that was all like Mendo either. I don't know if we can just
I don't know.
That's why I can kind of feel bad for him, because he has to go through all of this when it really isn't that big, and people are like, oh, you know, Mendo's this toxic kid, when it's really not true. Like, I really enjoyed playing with him. And I mean, I'd play with him in the future as well if opportunity was given. It was just a better choice for the team and him personally. to grow as a player. So there's not really anything more to
it. How much of this is your choice as a team together, like five out of six players deciding something, as opposed to like a coach opinion being involved?
Well, no, I was just thinking.
Right in there.
I was just shade. Yeah, I was just thinking shade because you know we have a coach and you try to angle it
a
bit. I don't know what you're looking for. No, it was definitely a team decision, and we voiced our concerns to Mando, like, and he was like, "Yeah, I'm kind of feeling the same way." And it's just we just sat on TeamSpeak one day and was like, "Yeah, I mean, might as well try something
it's
else."
It's not a good fit. I mean, that's all it was, right? Okay. Well, how are you guys feeling with IDQD?
We just had like 2 days of scrimming. It wasn't really that effective. We had like two teams cancel on us, so we got like 4 or 5 hours in total of scrimming, and then some strat talk. So not that big. I don't really have a first impression or anything.
Okay.
Yeah, but we all know he's a really good player. You know, I remember his Tracer games playing for Impulse and all that. We know he's like a really good player, so I'm looking forward to playing with him. He's a really cool guy as well.
Yeah. Okay. Awesome. All right. Well, let's talk about.
Part of me finds it a little bit ironic that like all of these team changes happened, and it's just like, I don't know, like why leave IDQD in the first place if you're just gonna like ditch one of the people like 5 days later.
Shit happens. This community is very immature. Yeah. That's one thing I'm learning more and more.
I think in my personal opinion, I think now is the time to change players.
That's probably
because
true,
so far in the beta, we've like seen that the teams that shine are the ones that play together the most. So now is the time where you want to like do roster changes and all that. And then when the big tournaments come, you have a solid lineup and you know who you're playing with and why you're playing with them and all that. So I think now is the time to do roster changes.
Yeah.
I think the one question I have is like, now who's Impulse 11 gonna get? Because like did they disband? I don't know. They had a
pretty
lot
sure
of
likely
momentum.
Said something about them disbanding.
They weren't sure, I think. I don't know. I haven't spoken to anyone in that team.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're gonna do or what their plans are.
I mean, it's pretty hard for a team to bounce back when one of their core people is gone. I think IDQD was probably one of their core players.
This would all be a lot easier if there was more talent available.
Well, we're about to see a lot of talent, I think, become available soon. Yeah, it'll definitely be interesting to see if Impulse 11 sticks around after the open beta. We might actually see some activity even just in that week. You know, I think people will be playing like. Some people will be playing 18, 20 hours a day, I think, during that week, just to try to get as much in as possible because of the 2 week break coming up after that. So maybe we'll see some news there too. Because the only event is the finish of the Overkill event, right? Is there anything else going on for Open?
I'm sure, no, dude. I'm sure there's going to be 15 things, actually.
Really? Okay.
I just don't know. I don't know about them, but
there was definitely plans of stuff to happen, but I guess it didn't actually end up going through. But.
Okay, for Open. I haven't heard anything yet, so I'm thinking a Ghost of Gamer would probably do something, right, during this week.
I'd be really surprised if they didn't.
Yeah, I mean. Yeah. Well, definitely keep a lookout on that, and you know, obviously folks that are wanting to check out any kind of competitive Overwatch, be sure to watch the finale of the Overkill King of the Beta event, as well as whatever else pops up. Let's talk about meta a little bit. After our show last week, you know, there were still some matches to be played in the Overkill tournament that we were just talking about. In the North American? No, which groups was it last week? It was European groups? Wait, which groups was it last week?
For Overkill?
It was like a combination of both, right? Because the schedule was all messed up. So we played a little bit
NA.
Yeah,
they did both.
Yeah, a little bit NA, a little bit of EU. And I know, Fishix, you wanted to talk about this particular LG Cloud9 match, right? That had some interesting characters being played at the top level here. Why don't you talk about it a little bit?
Yeah, if anyone from the OW Discord is watching right now, I might catch a lot of shit for what I'm about to say. But I want to give so much credit to Seagull. Because I literally think we just saw like a landmark moment in the competitive scene with his pick of Bastion on control maps, where now for what, 1, 2, 3 months or whatever, basically ever since the control maps came out, everyone's been like, oh, Tracer is so OP, you have to use Tracer. And mostly, you know, mostly Winstons as well, like at least one Winston, HBO's, two Tracers, yeah, as being like the core part of everyone's strategy. Everyone's saying, oh my God, Tracer's unbeatable. She's way, way, way too strong, blah, 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 blah. Winston's too strong, this composition, so on and so forth. And then out of nowhere, Seagold pulls out a Bastion, and he said on stream the next day that they didn't even practice this strategy. This wasn't even something that they practiced as a team. They were really sick of losing to Cloud9, so they were trying something new. And they pull out a Bastion, and it worked so freaking well that yeah. Cloud9 had to adjust their hero composition to try to deal with it. They weren't able to do it. They weren't able to find the appropriate composition. But then, you know, Cloud9 changed their composition. Then LG responded to that by changing their composition again. And then they went back to Bastion after, and it was actually the first time that I have watched a competitive game where teams did like rapid hero swapping, like
right,
you know, spawn wave mm-hmm. after spawn wave, hero swapping on one side, then the other side mm-hmm. would have to respond to that. So I just want to say thank you, Seagull, for trying this. And like, I'm just so glad, because I feel like teams, look, I'm not a top level player. I wish I had more time to watch scrims. I don't have enough time to watch scrims to really stay in tune to the meta as close as some people are. But I've been feeling like for the longest time that teams are just not even trying to be creative sometimes in these tournaments. Mm-hmm. Not even trying to catch their opponent off guard with crazy hero compositions. So we've only seen it a couple of times. And I'm just so glad we saw it, because that was exciting as all hell to see the hero swaps and then the counter hero swaps and then the counters to the counters and the counters to the counter of the counter. And then you start from point A again. Like, that is exactly where I think this game is going to shine. And I really hope that that encourages other teams to just try new things. And it's like, especially now, there isn't any money on the line yet. Like, just try new things, please. I beg of you.
Yeah. I yeah. think you'll really enjoy if you watch the VODs of Maidong versus Reunited, because it was basically yeah. the same yep. thing.
That was good too. That was great too.
Yeah.
I want to go watch them. Pick,
yeah. Yeah. We knew they were going to pick Triple Monkey, our first King of the Hill match. We just went 4 Zarya's and it went to shit. Then we had to adjust. Then we didn't yes. know what to do.
Oh, yeah. That's awesome.
I mean, you get shield charge, but it didn't work.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
So then we just like, I think Twig was like, fuck it, let's just pick a Bastion. And it kind of worked, mm-hmm. and we built on it, and then we started winning King of the Hill, and it was back and forth, and it was really fun because there were so many hero swaps. So I recommend checking it out for you, Ben.
Yeah, I'd like to. And guys, I'm not trying to say like everything that people know about the meta is wrong. I'm not trying to say that like Tracer's not maybe a little bit stronger than she needs to be, and Winston, like double Winston, isn't maybe a little bit stronger than it needs to be. But Bastion was a counter to the double Winston play. Like, people, I just feel like we haven't seen people get creative enough with counters. Like, because there are some more obvious counters in this game, people just don't go to very quickly.
Okay. Yeah. Shade, what do you think? That's what
I mean, it was super fun to watch for me because.
Yeah, well.
I always like seeing my team do well.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But yeah, I don't know. I kind of knew it was happening, obviously. Like, I'm literally in the mumble with them when they're playing. So. I knew it was coming, and I mean, I play quick match and ranked with Seagull literally every day, so I knew even then that he was thinking about it because he was playing Bastion like a shit ton. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think it was really fun to watch, and it's stuff like yeah. that where it's like, even it, you know, thinking about back to what Blizzard says about, oh, stopwatch isn't fun to watch, but like, even situations like that that don't even have to do with stopwatch that make the game fun. You know what I mean? Like, it's mm-hmm. stuff like that where it's just someone randomly pulls out something that you're not expecting them to pull out, and it's like, oh my gosh, that was so hype. And it happened in a stopwatch game, so it doesn't, like, doesn't matter whether it's stopwatch or like Blizzard's format or whatever, there's still going to be things that are going to make the game hype no matter what. Yeah. So I think that was something that I kind of pulled away from it specifically was that, so...
I mean, I want to call out, we have Surefour in the chat right now, and he's saying it wasn't Bastion alone, it was because of Mercy. And yeah, I mean, that's fine, that's great. Right. They still made the switch, right? They switched to Bastion, they had a Zarya, so they were putting Zarya
that's
shield
just not right, true, though.
Right on Bastion at the perfect timing. No, I mean, I see where he's coming from. Mercy was the reason that Bastion survived half of those
exactly.
engagements.
He
was
lived.
Like constant healing, mm-hmm. so I don't know. It was just
That's true, but it wasn't just all Mercy either. Like, Bastion being able to do as much damage as he does while damage boosted and having a shield on him, like, damage boosted, I think it was 4 seconds. I think it was Zan that said that. Damage boosted, Bastion can shred a Reinhardt shield in 4 seconds or less.
Jeez.
It's like, that's insane. That's insane damage. So to say, oh, it's not Bastion, it's not Bastion, it was, he was definitely doing work. Like, yeah, the Mercy's a big deal, but I mean
he kind of shines because it's so rare and his kit is so limited. Yeah. So yeah. I get where the hype is coming from. I'm happy to see it.
But to I guess to Fistic's point, you know, from an abstract level, the complexity of Overwatch is very, very deep when you add the hero swapping. And I think right now it has been, you know, for a long time, it has been very static lineups. And just, I don't want to say lazy, but just being in that framework, if just frame of thinking, only thinking about that and like not, you know, pushing yourself, even mentally, like to a different level as a team too, to like try to come up with all kinds of different, you know, possibilities and counters and, you know, initiating type of, you know, lineups too. So, you know, we are going to get there. It's going to take a little bit of time to, I think, get to that point and even just be successful doing those switches. I think that's the biggest thing, right? Like being able to adapt as a team on the fly like that takes a lot of being familiar with each other and communication. And that takes a lot of time, right? Chemistry and everything. So we're seeing such change, like we're shakeups with teams all the time. Like they don't even have time to really, I think, get that kind of comfort. Yeah. So anyways,
And weep to the Zircon in chat just said, just imagine what happens when the hero pool increases.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's exciting to think about. Like, what if we have 30? Hi, James. Like, how are you doing, James?
Too good sighting.
Andy got fired. Okay, see you later. Just kidding. I love that guy, by the way.
We all love that guy. With the pool player pool, I mean, the character pool increasing, it's just going to be insane. Just absolutely insane. And that's why there's going to be, we need coaches, we need full staffs, I think, working with these teams. Like, going to be amazing. Oh, God, they're still doing some of them back there.
Yeah, oh, this God. Is kind of annoying.
Awesome.
Damn, attention
Welcome
wars.
To Jane, attention wars. Okay, well, any other, I guess, esports specific comments from the standpoint of closed beta summary?
I just wanted to finally say I'm kind of disappointed that we didn't play around more with competitive rules and stuff like that. We kind of got this competitive mode in Overwatch, and it was like, that was pretty much it. Just like, no, don't play with hero limits. That's bad. That was kind of it. And I'm kind of sad because this was the time to experiment with rules and all that. I guess that's my closing point. Yeah. On close beta.
Fair enough. I mean, I think it might have just been an issue of it just wasn't finished. Like, it just wasn't ready in time. It wasn't like they were... I don't think it was like they were planning on just, okay, let's just get it in this last patch, like right before the end of closed beta.
Yeah.
I don't think they meant to do that. So it was,
No, I'm not. No, I'm not in no way like blaming Blizzard, like saying they're bad or something. Yeah. I'm just kind of disappointed that there wasn't any more time to experiment.
Yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of really interesting rule sets proposed. Or are you talking about hero limits more so? Or
just I'm just talking in general, like just hero limits. Some people suggested like drafts for heroes, and I'm like, I'm against it, but still, just to try it, you know. It would be fun to try out more different stuff just to see what fits.
I know, man. This all makes me tempted to want to organize tournaments again, and then I remember how big a pain in the ass that is. So
No, but there's been a lot of different gaming communities where the event organizers have helped define it. I mean, your tournament so far and Ghost of Gamers tournament so far have helped, you know, either solidify things or give them ideas or give them data points. I think it is important that event organizers try different things and we have more leeway to try different things than they might have, right? Just putting in whatever competitive mode they have. That takes a while. All like this team has to agree on things, and then there's just this, you know, dev cycle, and you know, even though it's quick for Overwatch, there's still a process where, you know, we can just do whatever we want, right? Like they give us all the tools to do whatever we want, so we should try it. We should, you know, I try totally drafts. Agree with Why that can't we sentiment. Do drafts? We could do drafts. We could do whatever, right?
Eventually. Yeah. Drafts, I mean.
God, why did I say drafts? I shouldn't have said drafts. It was a bad idea.
I want 60 heroes in the game before we even think about drafts.
I think so too. Yeah. I think drafting would be overkill like right now, but
right now you just ban Lucio and your team automatically wins because
probably, yeah. That makes sense.
I'm actually gonna say that there have been more teams experimenting without Lucio, so we might see less Lucio.
Really? Okay. Just
put it out there. Yeah.
Great.
We'll see how it goes.
That's awesome.
I'll believe that when I see it.
Tune in to the next tournament.
Exactly. He's actually giving you some of his secrets, like right off the bat.
Hey. Good.
Be interesting what your teammates say. Okay, let's do some viewer Q&A questions now. We've got a couple from last show that I want to definitely cover here. Life in Danger asks, I guess what we think about. When Heroes of Storm was announced, it had a pro exhibition match at BlizzCon. And the following year after its release, the first BlizzCon was a 500k World Championship. So far, Blizzard has been pretty quiet about official plans for Overwatch esports. We're only 6 months out from BlizzCon at this point with no announcements. Are Blizzard taking esports seriously with Overwatch? Do you think they'll match the 500k Heroes of the Storm tournament? Okay, there's some people here, guys. I'm just prefacing this. Well, that know some information, and they're under NDA, so they might not be able to say much. I am not one of those people, so I can just like say whatever. But I'll give you my thoughts, and then you guys can just come in with whatever. All right, from this, do they take
no
esports?
Comment.
Do they take esports serious? Absolutely, they take esports serious. Do you think they'll do something at BlizzCon? Yes, I think they'll do something at BlizzCon. 500k? I'm not sure what the price pool would be. I think 500k would
the more the better.
Yeah. Well, I think 500k would be like risky. I mean, it's in my eyes, it's not that risky, honestly. Like, it probably would be fine being something huge, at least just like a single tournament. But I don't think it would be that high. I mean, maybe 100k, maybe 50k or something like that. And for the first half year of the game, I think that's completely acceptable. I don't know. Reinforce, would you be happy with a 100K, 50K tournament?
I'd like to compare it with the Heroes of the Storm tournament. What was the first BlizzCon?
The first one was, I think it was in that range. It might have been 50K, yeah. Something. I think it was something like that.
I mean, if I was esports
wasn't that
manager,
just this past year?
No, they had a full year. This past year was a full year, I believe.
This was the first. This past BlizzCon was the first World Championships. For
yeah,
Heroes,
but they
though, right?
But they did a they did like an event after it was launched in August or whatnot before.
Yeah, and EG had like June. A team with Idra on it.
Yeah,
and they got
mm-hmm.
really smashed.
That was crazy.
So destroyed.
That was crazy. Yeah, so they had a half year that. Before that. So this was the first full. This past year was the first full year.
Okay. No, I'd be happy with 100K. I mean, I think it's a pretty good amount. I mean, all the big esports titles we see on Twitch nowadays, they're like 4-5 years old. So, I mean, 100K is a good start. I think it's stupid to just put up millions and shit from the get-go. So,
yeah,
100K is a very good
amount
of money.
I mean, I don't think it would be a bad idea to go huge with the first one. Good. If, like, you'll be able to tell pretty fast in the first couple of months of Overwatch actually releasing how the competitive scene is going to be, like if it's going to be able to stand on its own with the likes of like CSGO or League of Legends, if that's even a possibility. So if Blizzard ends up seeing, you know, Overwatch is going to do really well and we want esports to really just kind of like start off with a bang, then yeah, having a huge prize pool for your first tournament wouldn't actually be a bad idea.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The problem is that you never want your game to like decline or whatever, you know. You always want it to be able to rise, so you want the price pool to always be higher each year.
That's true.
So in that, from that standpoint, it's kind of stupid to just start out with a high amount and just see how it goes.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I mean,
I'm almost afraid to ask you anything, dude.
No, it's fine. You'll have to wait and see. I think what we can do is compare it directly to HOTS. I think that's a great way to start this out.
Yeah.
HOTS at this period in the beta had very few tournaments. It was slow going. The tournaments weren't getting shit for viewers. So the fact, like, we're already way ahead of the curve compared to something like HOTS, which I will remind everybody, Blizzard explicitly said that they weren't going to push HOTS as an esport. unless, you know, they really felt like the community was ready for it, blah, blah, blah. And guess what? The next year they had like, they announced $1.5 million in a circuit. So they have been actually more upfront with the fact that they see this game as an esport first, as a competitive game first, before anything else. You know, they pitched it as a competitive title. So I think that that should be proof enough to you guys that like Blizzard's going to support this. I mean, Hearthstone has an incredible amount of RNG in it. You know, it's questionable whether it's like the most legitimate competitive game ever, but you know, poker's out there too. So no hate on Hearthstone, but like, look, they supported Hearthstone. They supported HOTS. Even when they said that they were going to like take it easy with these games, they supported it with 250K tournaments at the very first BlizzCon that thought it was really like legitimately out. So I would be shocked if we don't see as big or bigger than what we saw with HOTS in the first year.
I'll throw out a question. Yeah. If you know, look, there's definitely been some developers who've gone the crazy $1 million. You know, like when you talk about prize pool, you can either look at it from the standpoint of, okay, does this event warrant that amount of money from the standpoint of just return, like views and that sort of thing? You know, just from just eyes and impressions and things like that, and from sponsorships does it warrant that? Or you could take the other standpoint where it's just pure marketing. It's just a way to just get like instant, you know, exposure, kind of like what Valve did initially with Dota, you know, Dota 2, right? Like the very, very first one was just like $1 million tournament that like the game's barely even out, right? And they kind of got...
That's actually true.
Yeah, they had like huge hype behind it. So I'll throw this question out. What if Blizzard did do like $1 million for this first one, just something crazy? Would that be a bad idea?
Hard to say, man. Hard to say.
Like, what do you think? Like,
I actually think if they made like a very big prize pool, a lot of people outside of esports would be really interested just for the sheer prize pool. So, like, there have been talks about the E-League, just like hinting on like Twitter and shit.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it'd be fun to see stuff on like E-League for Overwatch, things like that. I think it's more likely to happen if they put up $1 million prize pools or whatnot.
I think that would definitely draw people into the game that might not otherwise come to the game, but Blizzard's never been one to jump in head first into something without like doing a lot of research on their own and having like a safety net, I guess. So I don't see them doing like $1 million prize pool because that's kind of a huge commitment, but
I mean, Blizzard, that's Activision Blizzard we're talking about here. They got deep pockets. So hey man, it's not going to be too much sweat off their back either way. $1 million here, $1 million there.
Right.
It's more like the failure or success of it, though. Like I said, Blizzard has not been the developer that's jumped into something like just kind of recklessly before and thrown a bunch of money for no reason. Like it took them, what, a year and a half, 2 years to start throwing money at HOTS competitive, HOTS esports. So I don't know. I don't see them doing something like that big, I guess, as their first thing.
It'd be a pretty bold move. They'd definitely change everybody's opinion of how bold they are if they did do it with Overwatch.
Actually,
that would be amazing.
Gizmo PT in chat said they should give those Lambos out as a prize. That would be sick.
That would be sick.
History of esports.
Yeah.
Guys, because the first ever big esports tournament, Thresh won.
Yeah.
Not a Lambo. It was a
Ferrari.
I forget. It was a Ferrari. Yeah. There you go. Mm-hmm.
So I'd like to win
that. That would be a sick throwback.
Give me the keys.
Give me the keys. Well, how are you going to do it? There's five of you guys. So each of you guys a Lambo? That would pretty much be $1 million. So.
I mean, I don't even have a driving license, but if I got the car, maybe I'll reconsider.
Okay.
I like what James Toogood is saying in chat as well. Is like the prize pool is important, but you also have to build all the storyline and the production value and all these other things. So like, you only want $1 million prize pool if they're also spending $1 million on like pre-produced videos and, you know,
of course,
hype leading up to the event and advertising and all that stuff. So I definitely agree with that.
We'll have to have James on here one of these days. I mean, he could talk for days on how to try to make the production something that's worthy, I guess, of that kind of hype. Any other questions, guys? Just go ahead and type it in the Twitch chat. We'll take maybe one or two more and then we'll call it a day. Hadn't been too many tweeted. You can tweet it at ChainManView too if you want me to see it like immediately. Actually, Life has another one. He has like four of them here, so I might as well read one of them. see. This one's probably not. Let's see. I guess, how could a franchised league even work with Overwatch? Would organizations bid for spots in the league? Would the franchises then draft whole entire teams like CSGO or CGS Combine? How would a franchise league handle something like esports as a different region? EU, NA, Korea, China.
Ben, you want to answer
this one? We're seeing that for the first time now, kind of with ECS, which is the Counter-Strike League that was just announced, what, 2-3 weeks ago?
Yeah.
That Twitch and Faceit kind of put together, where the teams actually buy into being part of the league and have like some percentage ownership. So we're seeing that happen now for the very first time in esports history, as far as I know, other than CGS, which like almost doesn't count. It's like almost a beast of its own. So I don't know. Like, I'd love to theory craft about it, but you'd probably be better off asking somebody who's in within the sports, like mainstream sports industry, because that's how it works in a ton of the mainstream sports. But I mean, think just on a general level, I personally think the move towards more mainstream sports models is almost inevitable for the whole esports industry. Like, LCS is a really, really good proven model that has worked super well for them. It's made a lot of players very financially stable. It's consistent storylines. You see a lot of the same teams over and over again. So it's not quite exactly what you're talking about with franchising and buying in and stuff like that, but it's somewhat similar. But then you look at games like Dota 2, which is, by the way, doing much better recently in terms of viewership and stuff. But you go back to like 2013, and there was a huge tournament with every top team 2 to 3 times a month. And it was impossible as a fan to watch everything and understand the storylines. Like, the hardcore fans, sure, they're happy, but the tangential fan, it's like, what matters? What's important? I mean, you have TI, obviously, but like the rest of the year just became this kind of clusterfuck of event after event after event after event. So I honestly think that it's a good thing for the esports industry ultimately to move more to a mainstream sports model where it's like, one organization controls the league, right? Of course, there'll be minor leagues, there will be collegiate leagues, there will be leagues in different parts of the world, whatever, tournaments, amateur, whatever. But I think it makes a lot of sense for someone like Blizzard. They have the resources to come in and do this. And, you know, Counter-Strike has continued to explode. But even there, I'm starting to get a little bit worried. Like, the majors still get over 1 million concurrent viewers, but it's not like the viewership has grown much from major to major. And they're like, when NIP,
so gotta be crazy just to see 1 million on a single stream. That'd be pretty sweet for a CS:GO or even Overwatch. Overwatch would be amazing, man. Totally awesome. Any other questions? One last question. That's not too good. Yeah, can you grow more than like 400 or 500 concurrent like on a single stream? That's asking a lot for that to continue to grow, but we are going to see it on, you know, the E-League on mainstream, and maybe they'll bring in even more people to Twitch. So, gotta be crazy just to see 1 million on a single stream. That'd be pretty sweet for a CS:GO or even Overwatch. Overwatch would be amazing, man. Totally awesome. Any other questions? One last question. That's not too good.
Can he tweet in with a question?
I'm not even reading chat now. Stupid too good.
Let me see. Okay, LNDTV. Did somebody answer this or no? Okay, so are Ryu, the owner of Selfless Gaming and CS:GO, insinuated when AZK got picked up by Liquid that it didn't matter by saying, "Happy for my boy Kev. The bad news is the rumors have..." Blizzard, yeah, in draft systems. Is Blizzard actually going to use some sort of draft system into some sort of franchise league? Okay, that was kind of like, I guess...
Well, yeah, ask Blizzard, like, man.
Yeah, ask Blizzard, exactly.
We're gonna have to wait and see what they announce. Hopefully they announce something soon. Would be sick.
Yeah, I think so too.
Well, I mean, now is the time, given that BlizzCon isn't too far away.
Yeah. They'll probably do it right after launch, I would think. It'd be kind of weird.
Usually have like qualifiers in August or something.
Yeah.
And you need some time to prep. So, yeah, that makes sense.
I mean, it's like, I think everything right now is geared towards the launch. So, I think once
they want to have qualifiers.
That's true. It could be an invitational. You never know. but qualifiers would be probably the most inclusive thing. All right, well, I think that's going to be it for questions. If you guys got any more, be sure to save them for next week, because we'll probably be here again next week. Yeah, we'll be here next week, right? The open beta will be full scale, so whether during the break, I guess we'll have to decide. So save those questions for then. But wanted to thank Reinforce for dropping by, hanging out with us. Insight's always great. I think in the player pool, you're one of the players that have a lot of very introspective opinions, on how everything is going, and you can tell just by some of the articles you've written and things like that. So,
yeah. It can get pretty crazy in the community sometimes.
you think?
And I have some pretty strong opinions sometimes. So
it's good to have strong opinions. Sometimes that's the thing that moves the needle,
Yeah.
Gets discussion talking. But
thank you for bringing me on. Thank you.
Yeah. Any shout-outs you want to do?
Shout out to Too Good for not being that annoying, just a bit annoying. shout out to my team, especially Twick, because he's a really cool guy. And shout out to Mendo as well.
Okay, awesome. Shay?
Your Swedish bros.
Yeah, Swedish
bros.
Yeah,
man. Yeah, man.
Yeah, my stream, as usual. Love you guys. I see you in chat. I think everyone's lurking. And you and Fishsticks, obviously. Super fun. I love doing this with you guys every week. And yeah, I think that's it. Oh, LG. Yay, LG.
Yeah, LG. Aren't you supposed to have the sponsor lists and stuff? Like, what happened to that? Like,
I'm just a manager. Like, that's a player thing.
Okay. All right. Fishsticks?
I was super excited to see an audience forming at PAX. It was very cool to have that audience to caster interaction and feedback, hearing them ooh and ah and clap and cheer. It was really, really cool. So that was awesome to be part of. Really glad that I was able to do that. Other than that, nothing really on my end. I'm just going to be, honestly, I'm glad that the game's going offline. Like, they need to work on it. So, I'm not sad at all. I won't be missing it at all. Not at all.
Not at all. Wow. Nice. Oh, look at this guy.
Oh my God.
Look at this
guy. I want it.
I know. Shit, I should have gone, man. I'm so mad that I'm going to go.
Yes, you should have.
Well, we're going to be at DreamHack, though. You're still going to DreamHack, though,
no,
right?
I'm going to be at DreamHack likely in a couple of weeks. So I'll see you guys there.
Yeah, I'll be there too.
That's pretty much it. Yeah, follow me on Twitter. Do that.
Get closer to the cam. I got to see those glasses. No, the glasses. What are on the glasses? Oh, I see. Oh, nice.
Oh,
God. The swag is strong. That's even more stuff that I'm going to want now.
He's just covered in Overwatch.
Oh, no,
he's literally a walking billboard.
Jeez, the Blizzard marketing is so strong. And that too. Oh, God.
All up at the same time. We got this.
Yeah. I just want to thank all the viewers for coming in, tuning in. Especially, this is like an off week because Overwatch isn't even up. So really appreciate you guys coming in and watching the show and asking the questions that you guys have and all that good stuff. Big thanks to our guest, Reinforce, again. Talked to you maybe a couple times before, about coming on. We finally figured out a time. So amazing. Hopefully you can come on again sometime in the near future.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, good luck to the new team, by the way.
Yeah, definitely.
Thank you, man.
I wanted to say
thank
that.
You.
Yeah. I'm looking forward
to scrimming tons. So maybe in the future I'll come on when we have time.
Yeah. You could sponsor my dong sometime, guys out there. You guys.
I'm happy we didn't go into this.
I'm going to blame Too Good for that one.
It is. Yeah. It's his fault.
This is his fault, isn't it?
I'm happy we didn't have to discuss the name on the show.
Jeez. I think it's self-explanatory.
I just feel bad for whatever organization picks you guys up and has to write a press statement saying,
hey,
you just picked up my dong.
I saw the last episode, so I knew we're people's opinions were so
right. I want to thank Fishsticks and Shade for doing this with me every week. It is a lot of fun. One of the highlights of the week for me. And for those of you that missed the beginning of the show or missed any of it, you can check out the VODs at youtube.com/chamanv. The show is actually available on iTunes now and on Google Music/podcast. Just look up Overwatch or look up the overview and then go ahead and download it, listen to it. If you like it, only if you like the show, leave a 5-star review, and that definitely helps out the show a lot. It just helps, you know, just kind of SEO get the show a little bit higher so that everybody can see it. But that's going to be it for the overview this week. So for Reinforced, Shade, Fish Sticks, and myself, Cham MV, we'll see you next week. Later.
Peace.